Right, so I want to kick off this this evening, and we get to launch a series tonight called The More. There is more. And a guy by the name of Chris Smith was who is from Denver, Colorado. I think he ministered here in April, and incredible time. And I think there was 9 C's that came out of it. And we felt it was those key apostolic words to encourage us as a local church. And I'm going to kick it off this evening with an understanding of covenant. You guys ready? Yeah. Are you excited? All right, let's go for it. It's a wonderful thing. I want us to know up front. And this is going to be more, not a preach. It's going to be more teaching. I really feel to massage. John's giving me 5 hours tonight. I'm happy. And I feel for us to really massage and teach. Amen. This is something that can't be quick. But we've got to understand that what's involved in the covenants. And there are 7 main covenants in the Bible. Okay? There are obviously more. There's covenants between David and Jonathan. There are covenants in marriage. But there are 7 main covenants that God deals with humanity. And we're going to look at some of them. But ultimately, the key is this. It gets fulfilled in who? Christ Jesus. That's the key. Ultimately, we're going to see the covenant that we have is ultimately in Christ. Now, here's an interesting thing. Hebrews chapter 1 makes it very clear. There is going to be no other word. There's not another word, are you ready for this, that the Father will utter onto planet Earth. There will never be another word God the Father speaks on planet Earth. Do you know that? His final word is His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Hebrews says this, Hebrews chapter 1, in days gone by, God spoke through many prophets and in various ways. But in the last days, He has spoken through His Son. Jesus Christ is the last word you will ever have on humanity. It is the last and it is the greatest word. Very important. Now, we're going to look at 7 covenants, but very, very briefly, and then we'll obviously look at the covenant with Christ. When you look at a covenant, I want you to make a note of some things. You always, when you look at a covenant, you've got to look at the condition or the uncondition of that covenant. I'll show you in the Bible that some covenants are conditional. And I'll show you in the Bible that some covenants are unconditional. Okay? Number 2, who was the covenant between? Who is involved? Who is the party that God is making a covenant with? Number 3, what is the sign of the covenant? When God cuts covenant, He always leaves a sign. Either before or after the cutting, there's a sign, very important. Number 4, the consequence of obeying or not obeying the conditional covenant. Now, the moment you start talking about covenant and law, it can be a little bit tedious and a little bit harder work, but we must understand it, because if you don't, you won't really understand why the covenant of Jesus Christ is so amazing. That's why I've got to labor a little bit more from a teaching perspective. Next is always a sacrifice. You'll always notice there's a sacrifice in a covenant. You'll always notice blood's cut. Very important. And the last one, you'll always see God blesses the inheritor, us. You'll always see that the lesser is blessed by the greater. It's important. Are we all together there? Okay. Genesis chapter 2. Guys, I'm going to briefly touch on a few things. All right. Genesis chapter 2. And let's go from verses 15. This is what we call, make notes, this is called the Edenic covenant. It's amazing because you kind of like never see the word, you'll never see the word covenant in Genesis chapter 2. But this is what I love about Scripture. It's unfolding. It reveals and unfolds the whole time. Now, look what it says here, Genesis chapter 2, very briefly. This is what we call a conditional covenant. Okay? God says this, He puts them in this, sorry, let me just put this on. God says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, amazing, this is what's called the Edenic covenant, or what else may be referred to as the covenant of works. It could also be called the Adamic covenant. Now, it's amazing. How do we get the word covenant? Please click over to Hosea. Hosea, please, chapter 6, verses 7. Look at this. Powerful. This is what I love about the unfolding revelation. As at Adam, they have broken the covenant, they were unfaithful to me there. So how's amazing? In the book of Hosea, you look back and it actually says, like Adam, they broke the covenant. Profound. That is called the Edenic or Adamic covenant, and it is conditional. If you will do this, if you eat of the tree of life, if you eat from every other tree, you will live forever in my presence. If you eat from the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. Do you agree that's conditional? Amen. Unfortunately, we know the story, and it doesn't go so well, because flick over, please, Genesis chapter 3, please. Now, this is what I love. Gets me very excited. Who's ever heard of the word, the proto-evangelion? Okay? My wife gets drilled with that word from me. I just love it. Proto-evangelion stands for proto-prototype, meaning first. The first type, the first gospel. The greatest preacher of the first gospel is God himself. He now brings in an unconditional covenant. How about this? That involves Eve. Okay? Let's go from verses Genesis chapter 3, verses 15. Notice the people involved. I will put enmity. Who's the one that picked a fight with the devil? Best boxer ever. Okay? Undefeated champion of the world and undefeated champion of the universe. He said, I'm going to pick a fight. I'm not going to even get off my throne, because that's not a battle. But I'm going to defeat you through the very man you came to destroy. I'm going to defeat you through the same man, the lineage, the Adamic race. Transferred to the headship of Christ. Look at this. Goes on verses 15. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Very important. Here's a covenant God's making. There's an oath. And he says this. I'm going to, Eve, use your seed. Notice this. Through the seed of Eve, I will destroy Satan. Through the seed of Abraham, all nations will be blessed. Look how powerful this covenant is. Look how powerful this promise is. And he says this. You're going to strike his heel. Right here you have the gospel. You have the proto-evangelion. Isaiah chapter 53 says this. That he was bruised for our iniquity. Okay, over here, you will strike his heel. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. And head is always a picture of kingdom. You see, heel is humanity. Heel is temporary. Why? Because we all know, as mothers and fathers, when your child gets bruised, you know it's temporary. So right there and then, God is saying there will be a bruising, but it'll be temporary. He's already declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guys, you've got to understand, from the beginning, in Genesis, the gospel has been preached. That's why Abraham says he saw Jesus and he rejoiced at his day. Why? Because right in the Genesis is the gospel. Right there and then, God is saying, I'm going to defeat you through a man. The second Adam. That is an unconditional covenant made. How? Why do we know that? Because whether man behaved, was righteous or not righteous, irrelevant. God covenanted that Satan was going to be destroyed through the seed coming from Eve. Whether man behaved, whether man did good, whether man did all the righteous acts, irrelevant. Covenant made unconditional. Let's keep going. We flick over to Genesis. Please go to Genesis 8. Do you know, of the seven covenants, three of them are found in Genesis. Powerful. Genesis chapter 8, here we have what's called the Noahic covenant. Okay? I want you to see how every covenant points to what Christ is going to do. So in Proto-Evangelion, the seed Christ is going to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Okay? Here under the Noahic covenant, from Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 onwards, what you see is you see the declaration of a covenant that he made. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals, look here, here's the key, sacrifice, remember I said that? And then God smelt the aroma, and look at this, never again will I curse the ground. So I hear a lot of people say, you know, we still live under the Adamic curse of the cursed ground. Well, theologically, that's not correct, because already in Noah, he unreversed the curse of the cursed ground. You see that? Never again will I curse the ground. Now, interesting, Genesis 8, 22 onwards, there's a sacrifice, and look at this. This is what's called an unconditional Noahic covenant. Unconditional. It says here, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Mom, Dad, if you think little Johnny is perfect when Johnny's born, please note, already in Genesis 8, God is saying, the inclination of your child from childhood is evil. They must be born again. Not a very popular message sometimes, but it must be preached. And never again, look at this, will I destroy all living creatures as I've done before. Guys, I want you to see, this is an unconditional promise, irrelevant of man's righteousness or wickedness. He said something, I will never destroy the world again by water. Okay? Do you know this? That when you see these tsunamis and when you see these hurricanes and all this, know this, that is not God, what God is doing. Okay? I hear often people say, God sent that tsunami to wipe out 250,000 people. Well, here's an interesting thing. We must understand creation is groaning. There's a wickedness and evil in creation. I don't have time to talk about it now. Creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. Okay? God has made a covenant. Never again will I wipe out the earth with water. Do you believe God will break that promise? Okay. Here's the other thing. You must understand. What does the Noahic covenant do? And I know, guys, it's more of a teaching tonight, but this is good. Okay? It's difficult to put it all together sometimes, but you've got to see the meta-narrative, the big picture. Interesting, what does the Noahic covenant point to? What is it telling us? Well, first of all, remember I said for every covenant there is a sign. What is the sign that God will never destroy the earth again by water? Rainbow. Now, we had the privilege of going into Vic Falls, and they took us into Vic Falls at night, and we saw the lunar rainbow. Okay? How amazing is this? Little side note, that at nighttime, full moon, whatever the color is in the day, red, blue, whatever, at nighttime it reverses because the moon has a different reflection onto the water. It's incredible. But anyway, the point being is this, every time there's a big thunderstorm and you see a rainbow, what does it tell you? Amen. This is a covenant-keeping God. There is an ark. Let me make it clear. The Bible says God will one day wipe out the planet, not with water, but with fire. 2 Peter makes it very clear. There is an ark to which man can be saved. The ark is Christ Jesus. You must walk into the ark. Hallelujah. Okay? Very important, as much as Noah could have been praying on the side of the boat, if he did not walk into the ark, what would have happened? Washed away. The ark is there. The ark is made freely available for you to walk into. You must walk in, and here's the key thing. Only God can do what God can do. He closes the door, and he seals it by his Spirit. Read Ephesians 1. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? What's the picture there? Is that there is an ark to which man can be saved. Let's keep going. Are we all good? Number three, very quickly, is the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? We all know the story. This is all still in Genesis. The Abrahamic covenant is really a covenant of grace. Genesis chapter 12, you see the call. Genesis chapter 12, notice this. Remember what I said to you about blessing? The greater blesses the lesser. In Adam, Genesis chapter 1, 27, God bless them. Number one. By the way, after the fall, you'll see a sacrifice. God killed an animal, took the skin, and covered them. Notice the sacrifice was already an indication of blood will cover, blood will atone. In Noah, what do you see? Genesis chapter 9, God blessed Noah. Okay? This little blessing, and when someone's, you know, when you cough and you sneeze, I bless you. Guys, we must understand what the true meaning of bless means. Like someone, oh, bless you, have a great day. That's all fridge magnet stuff. Okay? Understand, when God blesses you, you have the hand of God blessing you with what? His very promises, His very life, His very everything. We'll see with Jesus, He was blessed in the order of Melchizedek. You will no longer, there's no priest in Aaron, but you will be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. All right, amazing. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your people. Okay, in your father's household. Go to the next one, please. Verses 2. Okay. It says, I'll make you into a great nation and I will. Say it loud. I will. Do you see the pattern? This is the pattern. God says, I will bless you. No human being will bless you. I will bless you. And I will make you into a great nation. All right. This is the start of what's called the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? Abrahamic covenant. Now, it's declared in Genesis 12, but it's the ceremony and the celebration, please go over to Genesis 15. This is kind of like the call it the actual event. Remember I told you about the sacrifice? There has to be blood. Remember I spoke about that? You've got blessing. There's got to be blood. What you'll notice in Genesis 15 is God says, bring me animals. Bring me birds. Okay? Now I'm going through this quickly because I do want you to go back into it. And Abraham brings it. And I want you to see this is an unconditional covenant. Where was Abraham, when God cut covenant? Knocked clean out. God passed through because Abraham cut the animals in half. Because that's the whole thing in the Hebrew understanding of covenant. You cut it in half, 1-1. Okay? He walked right through. Abraham was fast asleep and a smoking pot and a flaming torch, the picture of really Jesus Christ, the Spirit, fire, moving right through. Where was Abraham? Fast asleep. It's an unconditional oath. God says, I will make you. I will bless you. And you will be a blessing. Folk, I want you to, I don't have time to linger on this, but let me tell you, if you go back to Genesis 12, that blessing, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to nations. Guys, do you know right now we are living in the Abrahamic promise? I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Do you know we're the seed of the Abrahamic promise? How do we know that we're a blessing? Because the whole thing of Galatians is this, and to the seed, Christ. That seed, Christ, will be a blessing to the nations of the world. How did Christ be a blessing? And this is what we've got to understand, this little watered-down word, blessing. The way He blessed the world, He died for it. Everything of heaven was given in this one seed. And I will make you, you'll be a blessing, and you'll be a blessing to nations. Right now, Burundi, we are blessing that nation. Congo, Rwanda, Tanzania, Europe, Italy, Slovenia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, folk, the apostolic team that the Crossing Church partners with. I don't even know how many nations. Do you know, right? You probably maybe don't know him. Dudley Daniel. God spoke to him at the start of New Covenant Ministries International. And this is the scripture, by the way, he got. He says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to the nations of the world. 1980 or something like that, the word was given. So this is an unconditional covenant. I want you to now see a condition that was actually attached to the unconditional. If you jump over to Genesis 17. Now, remember what I told you? There's a blessing, and there is a sacrifice, and there is a sign. Now, unfortunately, the religious Pharisaical understanding is you get circumcised to get the blessing. You know that? Totally incorrect. Because theologically, the order is you are blessed first, Then the sign of circumcision comes later. Genesis 12 is the covenant. Genesis 15 is the ceremonial, almost act of confirming the covenant. Remember, Genesis 12 and 15 wasn't 2 days later. It wasn't 3 days later. You know, in your Bible reading, chapters 12, 13, 14. This was years later. This is the picture of the unconditional changing covenant of God. Genesis 15, the animal sacrifice. Genesis 17, years later, look at this. Now, the condition that Abraham and his descendants needed to live in is that they needed to have the sign of what was unconditionally given. Okay, bit difficult. Let me backtrack that again. So the condition is every male must be circumcised on what? Eighth day. How old was Abraham when he got circumcised, guys? 99. Let me say this. That is painful. Okay? That is painful. The sign of what had already been covenanted, which is a condition to live in the unconditional covenant, is that there had to be a sign, a setting apart, that you were part of that unconditional covenant, which is the circumcision. How does that change? Because, frankly, it hasn't changed. Under the Messianic covenant, Jesus Christ, it's no longer the circumcision of the flesh done by the hands of man. It's what? The circumcision of the heart done by the Spirit of God. Living in the blessing and the inheritance and the covenant that God made with Abraham. Understand this, guys. You're living with a covenantal keeping God. He said to Abraham, I will bless you. And you will be a blessing in South Africa, Abraham. What South Africa? How would Abraham be a blessing in South Africa? Through the church. The seed coming from Christ. Isn't that amazing? Right. Let's keep going. Touching very briefly on the Mosaic Covenant. Next one. Mosaic Covenant. Now this is a completely conditional covenant. Comes out of Exodus 19. What does God do? It could be the Mosaic Covenant. You may know it as the covenant or the law of Sinai. Okay? It's basically, if you want to put it down to a nutshell, it's the Ten Commandments given on tablets, on stone, for the nation of Israel. Why was it given? People often think that, you know, the law is actually righteous. Do you know that? Do you know the law is righteous? Do you know the law is holy? Do you know that the law is good? The problem with the law is it makes and has no ability to help you. It reveals to you who you are. It not only reveals to you, but then judges and condemns you for who you are. Because remember, the law is righteous, the law is holy, and the law is good. Please understand, I say this with grace, we haven't done away with the principles of law. This is where I hear a lot of Western charismatic Christians say we're not under law. Well, I don't know if you really know what you're saying. Because we're not under the works of the law for righteousness, but surely in the book of Exodus, it says, children, obey your parents. Amen? I'm sure we'd like some days to remind our kids, remember that law. And what does Timothy say? Paul said to Timothy, he says, children, obey your parents so that it may go. So what's changed? The principle of the law has not changed. The only difference is it's no longer written on the heart, the stone tablets. It's now written on your heart. Do you know that? The law is actually now written in your heart. The difference is you've got a mediator who has fulfilled it perfectly and gives you his spirit to walk in it. So when I hear people say, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, you're right that I don't work to do sacrifice that was done once and for all. I don't work to perform. There's no festivals or religious duties to attain because it's been done in the one man, Christ. And now I have his spirit. How about this? I want you to, next time you fail, I want you to look into the mirror and say, guess what? I have fulfilled the law perfectly. Do you know that you think, what am I talking about? Go read Romans. Theologically, in Christ, you have perfectly fulfilled the law. Why? Because simply, it's not of me. It's not about me. But when I put my faith in the one man who has done it perfectly, whatever he inherits, what did John say to you today? Whatever he inherits, we inherit. And we inherit the law fully met in us. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of the power of the Spirit. So, I don't want to dwell too much on Exodus Mosaic law. Basically, it really comes down to Deuteronomy 28. Blessing and curses. Do this, to this, I'll bless you. Do this and do this, I'll curse you. Very encouraging on Monday morning when you wake up. See, that's why we don't live under that. Because why? There was one who became curse. And there's one who's given us his life and his righteousness. There's another covenant which I'm not going to dwell on, but it's linked intrinsically to Deuteronomy 28. It's called the Palestinian covenant. Anyone ever heard of that? Okay? It's not expressly spoken of in the Bible as Palestinian, but it's the common word that people use today to understand what God is referring to when he says, in essence, we say Palestine. Remember this, that God spoke to Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant was really two things. One, I will give you this land. Okay? How was it proven? By his feet. Wherever you tread now, I'm giving you. You know that story. And then also is, I'm going to make you the father of every nation. That's really the two intrinsic links to the Abrahamic covenant. However, coupled with that, from Genesis 12 to Deuteronomy 30, 31, what you will see is in essence the fulfillment of the land given. Because we must remember something. There's a word called the diaspora. I mentioned earlier. Jewish people scattered all over the world. New York has plenty. Okay? What has God promised? He's covenanted to Abraham, which both has a spiritual and a natural understanding. He's covenanted that this land, right from Egypt, from the Waidi, right up, he says, I will give you this land. So when I hear Arabs and stuff saying that the land is going to be theirs, the problem is they're dealing with a covenantal keeping God. Now, I don't get caught up with all the land and the law and the Jewish and stuff. Do me a favor. Great thing is let God sort that out for the Jewish people. Amen. We've got nations that God has called us to. And it's not about borders. And it's not about boundaries. Because why? Christ died for the world. We've been given nations, which is people. Every tribe, nation, and tongue. We have the privilege of going to them. So there's a Palestinian covenant, which, if you are interested, Deuteronomy 30, Deuteronomy 29, spend time around there, and it's directly linked to the Deuteronomy 28. If you will obey, you will walk into this land. What does God say? If you do not obey, I will diaspora. I will scatter you amongst the nations of the world. Okay? And what you're seeing around the world is really Jewish people, but God has promised to return them back. The remnant will return back to Israel. All right. Okay. One more before we kick into, 5 past 6. We are doing well. Thank you, Lord. The Davidic covenant. Who's ever heard of the Davidic covenant? Hey, what does that mean to you? Does anyone know what the Davidic covenant means? Yeah. So you read 2 Samuel, and I'd encourage you, 2 Samuel 7, and you can see it later in 1 Chronicles 17. God promised David what? That there would always be a son on the throne of Israel in the line of Judah. Okay? Unconditional covenant. Because let's be frankly honest, how many times did David blotch it? In fact, if you look at the cleverness of God, he's dealing with Solomon, he's dealing with the sons of Solomon, and the generations afterwards, but at the same time, he's actually, and this is where God is just incredible, he's dealing with each heart, giving them always a motivation for the covenant. If you'll obey, what does it say? If you obey Solomon, you'll stay on the throne. If you obey all the sons of Solomon. But actually behind it is really Genesis 3. He will crush your head. Abraham, Galatians, the seed, I will make you a blessing to all nations. Already behind that is the promise that God's already made to Abraham. God allowed Abraham to see his day. How did Abraham see God, Jesus' day? Very simple, in the face of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the pre-incarnate Christ. Melchizedek broke bread with Abraham. He broke bread and he had wine. What does that remind you of? And his name is King of Righteousness, King of Salem. Salem is peace. That's where you get the Muslim word Salam Aleikum. And Jerusalem, that's the Salem word, is peace and righteousness. Who's our King of Peace and who's our King of Righteousness? I mean, does it not just all point to the one man? Incredible. So here, I won't spend too much time on that, but simply this, he was promised the King, the Messiah, would come in the line of Judah. All right, are we all good? Jeremiah 31, please. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Are we all good? Okay. Look at the Messianic covenant. Old type in the Old Testament, foretelling. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Say the word new. So every other covenant will be made obsolete when the new comes. With the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. Next, please. It says that it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. That's Mosaic, because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord. Look at this. What did I say to you earlier? The law no longer sits on tablets. It's no longer inscribed by the hand of Moses chiseling out. That's what he did under the old covenant. It's now what? I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. The law is now written by the Spirit upon our hearts and empowering us to live out. What? To love God. Law number one. Has the commandment law one ever changed? What is law number one? And what does Matthew talk about? Matthew 10:11 talks about Matthew 9, whatever, talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. What has changed? Nothing. The greatest law under Mosaic is the same greatest law that Jesus has. Love God. What is the difference? Empowered by the Spirit, fulfilled by the one who perfectly loves God, Jesus Christ. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to another one, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Look at this. Here's the gospel, right from Proto-Evangelion, right from Genesis 3. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Guys, in Jeremiah 31, 31, never forget it. So easy to remember. 31, 31. Right there and then is the declaration under the old covenant that there's a new covenant coming. And he's never going to remember your sin anymore. So I now want to jump over and we're going to close off with Hebrews chapter 10. Please turn with me, Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I'm sure I don't need to remind you of the pattern of the covenants. What did I say with the package? Is it conditional or unconditional? The covenant of Messiah, the Messianic, is completely unconditional. Whether you like it, love it, pray to another God or not, God promised that his Messiah is coming. With or without you. That's the truth. Okay? You can pray, you can intercede, you can beg God to not wipe out the world with fire. It's written. He will wipe out the world with fire when he returns. Don't worry about praying for that. Okay? We must understand what is in covenant is irreversible. So what I found profound is the next thing is, if it's unconditional, who is the covenant between? I can tell you now, the covenant of Messiah has got nothing to do with you and me. Do you know it was cut in the heavenlies? The covenant was cut with Jesus Christ and the Father. in the heavenlies. You have absolutely no involvement in that covenant. How about this? Before the creation of the world, Christ was slain. You and me weren't around then. This is not about us. This is about Him, what He's done, and what the Father has accomplished through His Son, Jesus. The next thing is this. What's the sign? Well, I don't have much time, but how many messianic signs do you want of the coming Messiah? Foretold over and over again. This will happen, this will happen. The one you know very well is He'll be born from a virgin. One of the signs. As I've said to you as well with the covenant, there has to be a sacrifice. Do you know this, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no? And when there's a priesthood change, when the laws change, there's a change of priesthood. So the Aaron law that came under Aaron, old covenant, now came with a different high priest, and the law changed. Isn't it incredible? New law, new high priest. But he's not in the order of Aaron. Because I'll tell you what the order of Aaron is. Every day he gets up, he is just condemned with his own guilt and shame, his own failures, his own mess-ups. He's now got to stand before God, not only for his sin, but the sin of the world, the sin of the nation of Israel. And he has this blood of goats and bulls. Every year, it's just an annual reminder of how he fluffed it. Really, that's what it is. Now with the law change, there comes a high priest, not in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek. How about this? A high priest without genealogy, without beginning, and without end. Just like the Son of God. And the thing is with the Melchizedek order, he went in not with the blood of goats and bulls. He didn't go every year. He went once on your behalf. Once on my behalf. Not with blood of goats, with his own blood. Pure, spotless, perfect blood. To appear once and for all before the Father. Look at this. We're going to close on this. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read verses 8 to 18, and then we're going to close. Let's go. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire. How about that? Nor were you pleased with them, though they offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Say with me, once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again, and never, and the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. By the way, who's that? Who does that? The church. Beautiful. Remember, we're the body. So if his footstool is his feet, who's his feet? Romans 15 says this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Incredible. The church does the walking, God does the crushing. Powerful. For by one sacrifice, look at this, guys, he has made perfect forever, notice that past tense, perfect forever those who are being made holy. How about this for a difference in religion? God says, I have made you perfect now, whilst I perfect you every day. Hey? Religion is you get perfect, you get good, you get righteous, and maybe God will have you. Maybe God will entertain you. Christianity, Jesus Christ says, I have made you perfect once and for all, and I'm going to continue perfecting what I've already perfected. Guys, you understand how everything is fulfilled in the Messianic covenant. Let's keep going. We'll finish now. The Holy Spirit also testifies. Well, it's actually basically is simply this. It's the repetition of Jeremiah 31:31. Go down to verses 18. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Folk, when you sin and you fall and you make a mistake, the first thing we want to do is we want to go under the Mosaic mindset that I've got to beat myself There's got to be penance. There's got to be penalty. Understand this in Christ Jesus. Where these have been forgiven, sacrifice is no longer ever required. Because of the one perfect sacrifice, once and for all, not on the earthly tabernacle, but in heaven itself, on the bema seat, on the mercy seat, in God, forever, forever, forever made perfect. You're feeling down tonight, you're feeling shameful, you're feeling a failure. Guys, know this. There can never be another sacrifice. Why? Because the one sacrifice was perfect. And by simple faith in that one perfect sacrifice, how about this? Romans 8 says, those who have Christ, those who have the Spirit, fully meet the requirements of the law. Guys, let me understand again. The law has never changed. Love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your body, with all your strength. It was in Exodus 19, Exodus 20, in Matthew. It's never changed. The only difference is, where is the law written now? It's no longer written on a tablet by man. It's written by the Spirit on your heart. And here's the best thing. He empowers you and He moves you towards Him. He empowers you and moves you to love Him. In closing, if you look right from the Adamic covenant, what has God promised? God has promised a Savior. God has promised that the kingdom of darkness will be crushed. How did it happen? On the cross. You go look at the Noahic covenant. God has said this, there is an ark to which you can be saved. The wrath of God is coming. It will be destroyed one day, the earth by fire. There is an ark to which man can be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. You come into the ark, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You look at the Abrahamic covenant. We are the seed of Christ, the blessing given to Christ. We walk in as we inherit what Christ. We are a blessing to the nations of the world. This is a global gospel. When you look at the Mosaic covenant, all those laws are no longer written on the stones. They're written on your heart, and God moves you to walk into them. Not to earn it, not to perform it. Why? Because the law's already been met in you. But it's to work out and to walk in by faith, by the Spirit. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to obey your parents? All of that's never changed. It's just who moves you to do it. Under the old covenant, they had to do it themselves. And how well did they do? Not very well. Hence why annual reminder of sacrifice. Jesus, once and for all, empowers. Look at the Davidic line. God promised a Savior. God promised a Messiah. God promised a throne that would never end. God promised a king without end of days. And the government will be on His shoulders.